Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 70. It's episode 70 of the Portsmouth Running Podcast. As always, I am your show co-host, Daniel Del Piccolo, and I'm joined, as always, by my beautiful, and you know what, Dave, I don't say this enough, my awesome good friend, Dave Harvey, who is just an incredible human being all round.
Now it sounds like you're flirting with me, Dan.
Well, you know.
But I equally, I think you're awesome too. So we've got this kind of like podcast bromance going on, and yeah. You're sort of like my running wife or running husband, I guess.
maybe it will turn from romance to bromance to promance as a podcast.
Promance.
Yeah, I don't know. How are you, mate? Are you all good?
I'm all right. I'm set out in the sun. Hetty is running towards me. So if you start to hear screaming or anything, then that's her. She's becoming a keen runner herself, like literally just darting around all over the place. It's so nice, man, to have the feeling like the winter has finally gone and the sun is here, because it's been a long winter. It's felt like, I reckon.
Absolutely. I don't know what you think, but I feel the same way. However, the only thing I'm going to complain about, because there's always something to complain about with the weather, is the wind just will not go away.
No.
And at the moment, I'm sitting outside just opposite, I'm looking outside my window opposite the pier, and there's four British flags. So any runners along the Portsmouth seafront will know of the flags that are just kind of above the pier between the two kind of, you know, tower spires. Mm. And it's always a good measure to work out which direction the wind's going and how hard it is. And they are blowing like crazy at the moment. It's insane.
Are they?
Yeah, and they haven't stopped. They literally haven't. Every morning I wake up, I think, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. This is going to be a calm day. Be able to get like no wind. Be just be nice. Absorb all the heat. But no, they're just nonstop. So hopefully soon the wind will die down and everything will be done.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. You can hear her now. She wants to get on the show.
Yeah, this podcast is real. It comes from real life families.
Exactly. This is where it is. We don't edit this. We don't smooth it over. We don't cement in the cracks. It's just as it is. And I think there'll be more recordings going on with you outside in the garden probably over the summer. So everyone will just have to get used to it.
This is how it is. We're raw, man. We're raw.
Exactly. So you've just been out for a run. I've just been out for a run. How was yours?
It was good. It was just really, really easy miles, actually.
Good.
45 minutes, about 4.5 miles ish, just really chilled out, going up some local trails through some woods,
nice,
up the road towards Butser, up the sort of Clownfield side, and it was lovely, but
awesome.
It is a little bit windy, but probably not as windy as down where you are.
I went out I did a grit class this morning, which is like a kind of like a high intensity strength building / cardio gym class with a few weights and stuff.
Yeah.
So did that at about 8 o'clock this morning, got back into Portsmouth and then thought, right, I'm just going to get the run done as well. So
yeah,
went out from the pyramids all the way down to the Hailing Island Ferry into the wind, and then turned around and got a bit of wind back. So obviously for me, shirt was off as usual on the way back, and yeah, did a bit of sun tanning at the same time. And it was nice. It was good.
So you've embraced all of the gym classes and stuff, haven't you? How is that making you feel? Like, are you tired all the time? Do you feel stronger? Has your running been impacted at all? What's going on?
Okay, that's such a good question. Are you ready for the long answer?
Yeah. I'll sit down. I'll get comfy. Feet up.
Get yourself comfortable. So for the listeners out there, I and obviously Dave, you know this is already. I've had a little bit of kind of like long running fatigue, and with that, it's not with the running itself. The fatigue isn't the running. The fatigue is the fueling and that nauseating feeling that I tend to kind of get in the later stages of a race. But I'm going to have to just like embrace. But anyway, so what I decided to do at the beginning of this year was just maybe tone down the mileage a little bit, but still have some long race goals, but do more classes. So I joined a gym. I joined the Pyramids gym end of last year. Started to do some weights and stuff like that. Didn't really kind of get into it too much. I didn't really know what I was doing, and that's strange, because I've got a history of being in the gym and doing weights before I ran. But I just couldn't get back into it. I just did not know what I was doing. I feel almost too shy and too embarrassed to kind of, you know, start hanging around the free weight section. And I think I needed like a few maybe intro sessions with a coach or something.
But anyway, so
I started to do the classes and realized, you know, just how much effort they take. I mean, I started with body pump, which I used to call body murder. That's kind of like I've settled into that now. That's, you know, that used to be the worst class for me, and now it's actually probably one of the easier classes, because I started doing grit, which is very, I don't know how to describe it. It's grit and hit. So the grit class we do is, it's like, you know, you get yourself like a little base station stand and you get yourself some free weights, and it's just 30 to 35 minutes of just very, very fast, like burpees, straight into like lunge jumps, straight into like swapping lunge jump steps, and then you're running up and down off your base station, and then you're doing press-ups, and it's very, very fast-paced, very fast-moving, and you get very short rests. So I've been doing that now for a few months, and I feel, in answer to your question, like, am I more tired? I really do think so, even though I've been doing less running or less long runs. But I have actually, I'm a lot more tired. I feel like I feel like I'm going to drift off to sleep every day. It's horrific.
Yeah.
Really tired, really sore, but my legs are changing shape. I can feel my legs changing shape. They're getting stronger. And yeah. I think it's helping the running speed wise.
Right. Okay. So, because you did a rather quick park run at the weekend, didn't you?
I know.
Cheated by Strava, I think is fair to say.
Yeah, I was. I wanted to get my parkrun PB time down into the 17 minutes, and like for ages. So I've done a 17:52 before, but on my own, so it's not official. So I was meant to be racing that day. So I was meant to be doing the Fox Ultra Marathon.
Yeah, because we were out in East Meath on the night before, and you were sort of saying, "Oh, I don't know if I'm going to do the ultra, or I might just do the marathon."
Yeah,
and then
I know.
You are doing 4,500 miles an hour at parkrun.
Yeah, so I just changed my mind kind of last minute. I didn't hear back from the race, and I thought, well, I'm not going to drive all the way to Hazelmere just to be told the marathon's full. We can't drop you down. So I thought, right, that's it. I'm just going to go to parkrun and try a fast run. So, you know, Dave, how much of a big fan I am of the Hoka Rocket X2s. They are a fucking incredible shoe. So I just thought, right, I'm going to take them out of the wardrobe. I haven't used them since the Chichester Corporate Challenge. Let's give it a bash. I'm speed trained. I haven't done many long runs, so I'm not overly fatigued too much.
Yeah.
And I got my strangely enough, my daughter's friend from school to pace me, who's a quick runner. So the young Oscar offered to pace me through. And yeah, we set off at about. So we had the wind on the outbound journey. So anyone who ran parkrun, South Sea Parkrun on Saturday will know that there was a wind coming from the east. So that slowed us a little bit on the leg out. We did about 5:56 per mile on the way out.
Yeah.
And then we turned at the turn point and things like got hot. So I think we did the third mile in about 5:35 or 5:39, somewhere around there.
Wow.
And I managed to, I stopped my watch at 18:03. But I'd gone in the 5K. I'd gone over 5K in 17:57.
Wow!
And it was just a gamble as to what parkrun was going to give me, and parkrun gave me, here we go, 18 minutes on the dot.
Wow! <All right. laughs> You've got to go back and do that again now.
I know. I can't believe it. I was like, and the thing is, like, you always look back and think, oh god, that's like 1 second. I would have caned that anywhere in the run. If I'd known I needed 1 second, I would have done it anywhere. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, it was pretty tough, but it was really good pacing by Oscar. So I thanked him profusely for that. And it was good. It was really good. It was quite fun to do and shows that the fitness is up there. So let's see what all these gym classes and the speed can do for my South Downs Way 100 in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you'll smash it. You'll smash it. So that's quite a, your training has been, let's say, unorthodox, I guess. So, but
very.
You know, like you've done the South Downs Way twice now, haven't you?
So this will be the third run.
Yeah, and you know, given that you did the track 100 and GCR last year, you know, you probably don't need it. Any long runs would just be topping up what's already there. So
I think
why not? I'm all for it, man. You just got to go and give it a go and see what happens. You might have found the magic formula for yourself, you know, because if you've got long run fatigue, then you've got to keep your body guessing and doing other things, haven't you? So you've probably done quite a sensible thing there.
Yeah, it's such a good guess. And I think I've kind of fallen into that pattern with my huge change, my huge life change. And I've moved house and just everything is just on top of me. And obviously that's the reason why I've now sadly withdrawn from Spartathlon as well. So
yeah.
Yeah, so all different, but yeah, no, it's interesting what you just said there. It's like sometimes you've just got to mix it up, and I think with me, I've always been bad at not mixing it up enough, you know, just doing long runs and doing marathons all over the place, and so now I've fallen into this pattern, you know, kind of like unbeknowingly really, and I'm in it now, fully fledged, and I'm doing like 3 to 4 gym classes a week, and let's just see what happens. And like you say, it could be a winning formula, or I could be hanging out my ass at mile 30 wanting to quit.
You could be get to QE and you'll be crying.
Yeah, exactly. I should have done more long runs. But listen, you've what's your plan? Because obviously you're off the back of the tunnel and still recovering and getting your pace back and stuff like that. How's that all going?
Good question, Dan. Good question.
Have you got some fatigue?
I've had an interesting couple of months really, and April was totally a non-event for anything. You know, I must have run like 15 miles in April, and that was just because to go and see some friends rather than wanting to go out for a run.
Yeah.
And I lost all desire, lost all kind of, I started to, you know, like, I think you just have to psychologically recover from these things. Otherwise, you're just going to end up resenting them and, you know, resenting running, falling out of love with it. So
yeah,
I gave myself all of the time in the world just to kind of get to that point and thought, right, let's get back out for a run. And I just haven't been feeling it. Like for 2, 3, 4 weeks, or most of May, I've just had no strength and just been really, really tired.
Mm.
And I've got this like issue with my hip that I'm starting to, it's up and down, but I feel like it's starting to finally go in the right direction. And this is like, you know, track 100s pre-tunnel type thing that's been going on that I've just kind of accepted and ran through and stuff, and which is probably daft, but doing a bit of extra yoga, doing a bit of extra strengthening and all of that kind of jazz. And then these last few weeks, man, honestly, I just started to crave eating meat.
Yes, you said about it.
Excuse me. And I've not eaten meat for a few years, probably like sort of dipping in and out of vegetarian, veganism and, you know, plant-based diets and that, and had moments like where just, you know, the idea of eating meat just made me feel sick and like really just didn't like the whole thing. And but, you know, I've never been militant about it. It's only people's diets. What they eat is entirely up to them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't, you know, fuck anyone that starts to preach, you know. Because it's such a personal thing. So last couple of weeks I've just sort of thought, you know, listen to your body. So I've started eating a lot of like burgers on the barbecue and stuff like that, and had a conversation with someone at work who's one of the doctors at work, and she was wondering whether I'm missing some kind of like,
you know,
iron, B12 or iron issues going on there. So you know,
interesting. I think the body does do that. Like if you're craving something or your body needs something, it seems to come out and translate itself into some kind of craving for some kind of liquid or food that you wouldn't normally crave. So I guess it's got to be your body telling you that you need something.
There's got to be a lot of memories, you know. Maybe it all comes together to, you know, like this sort of mutual understanding amongst all the cells and the neurotransmitters of going, we need beef. You know, it all comes together like in one massive craving. So that's where I'm at the moment. And then this next few weeks are a bit of a write-off training wise, because I'm going to go and do a couple of festivals, go get stupid at Glastonbury.
Okay.
And then I guess it's all eyes on Sparta.
That's it. Well, you're holding the torch now you and Mitch are holding the torch now for Portsmouth. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens and follow you through the race, man. I'm so excited, and I've still got a plane ticket. So who knows what's going to happen with that yet? Do you know? Annoyingly, I don't know if anybody listening flies with Flybe, but basically I booked a flight with Flybe, and you know, it's in September, so there's plenty of time until then. And they just won't refund you the money. They said to me, out of the £220 it was, we can give you £23 back.
Really?
And I said, what? I said, is that all? I said, like, you know, if I give up the seat now, surely it's going to get sold before then. And they said, oh, well, what you can do is you can transfer it to somebody, That would probably be the easiest option for a fee of £120.
What?
Yeah.
How is that 120? You know that. Oh, this is the stuff that fucking pisses me off. Like, because it's just blatant profiteering. It's blatant, like, you know, just corruption almost. That's the way I see it. Because
yeah, it's mad. It's absolutely insane.
I think I spent £69 on my flight to go out there, and I bet you I would get about £5 of that back. And like to these people, it's probably just like a little bit of a kind of change the name on a computer and then put it through.
The funny thing is, they've got the tools are in place these days with e-commerce and everything like that. You do the change yourself, so it's not even like an employee has to do anything. Like, you spend your own time going onto the website, logging in, and changing the details.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to it. There's nothing to do. Well, not that I know of. Maybe I'm missing the point. But yeah, you're right. It does sound like profiteering at its best. But
crazy.
Anyway,
it's totally crazy. You know.
Yeah. But anyway, it is what it is, and I shall be happy and be thankful and. Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, we went out for a run last week, didn't we? Like, with James Grinser.
Lovely run, by the way. Loved it.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. And I think there's a few people that are loving the easy trail miles at the moment. And then a few people have gone off, I think, that weekend to go into UTS and that, haven't they? But, yeah, it's so funny that we sort of get into some philosophical stuff at times, don't we? And we just sort of, like, you know, sort of question certain areas,
the fabric of everything,
why people do it, and, you know, sort of like have a curiosity towards certain wisdom when it comes to like interpreting stuff. And it was funny that James Grinter, in that was just like a beautiful kind of like hour of like coming together and totally being on the same page when it comes to running, but in kind of like philosophical way, you know. It was so lovely that, you know, so I quite often I'll go for a run and then you end up having like a therapy session with your friend. It's just so lovely.
I know what you mean. Yeah, we were all kind of like, we were debating the reasoning behind running and like what keeps you going and drives you to kind of do it. And like, yeah, when you what you feel like when you don't get out for that run,
yeah,
because that feeling is horrible, isn't it? Like, just when you don't do it early enough in the day or the afternoon gets the better of you and time goes on, and then you're like, oh no, I haven't trained.
Yeah.
And especially now I can see people going up and down the seafront all the time. It's just if I don't get out early and do it, I feel like I'm behind the curve.
Do you know what? There's almost like this little addict in the back of your mind, isn't there? Gary?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you've not done your run today. How dare you? I'm starved.
I know. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which reminds me, actually, talking about seeing people on the front, I bumped into quite a few people this morning, and to a really lovely couple, Russ and Sandra Tullett. I saw them this morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Obviously, Sandra's been a guest on the show a couple of years ago, I think, now. And they're obviously gearing up to get ready to go to Sparta as well, because they always go over to support and stuff. And I was having a chat with them.
Are either of them running it?
I don't think so. But they're going over to support. And you know, they were really kind to me. They were just like, you know, oh, don't worry about it. You know, there'll be other times. And it's all good. Yeah. And you made the right decision. And you've got lots of stuff going on in your life right now. So I felt it was really nice to see them. And it made me feel better. It's always nice. You know, just a little smile and a little conversation of somebody or a tap on the back or something. It's just like really, really makes it good.
Yeah, definitely.
It's nice. So listen, what are you up to for the rest of the day?
Oh, not a lot, I don't think. I think the sun's out and probably just eat and sit and stare at the lovely garden we have. So what about you?
I've got my father's over from Perth, Australia, visiting for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Papa Piccolo, that's right. So he'll be over today, later this afternoon. I'm going to be cooking up my favorite vegetable stew with some couscous and salad and have some white wine and stuff. And then I think my sister is doing some kind of salsa dancing on the common somewhere.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, there's a really kind of strong like salsa presence in Portsmouth right now, and I think they dance a lot in the Gaiety Bar on Tuesday nights, and I think they're taking it outdoors tonight.
Oh, brilliant!
So we're just going to go along and just watch, and maybe take a bottle of wine and a couple of glasses.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And that's it, I think. And then tomorrow back to work. for a shorter week.
No, don't say the W word.
The W word
comes round so quickly, doesn't it? Like,
I know.
I sort of stride sprightly out of work on a Friday, especially at the bank holiday weekends, and you're like, well, hey, and then. Yep. 3 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon or on a Monday bank holiday afternoon, that there's that like explosion of like anxiety that's like, now we need to start winding down.
I know, it's horrible.
You have to go to work.
Yeah. What runs have you got up this week before we say goodbye? What are you doing?
Oh, just hour each day, I guess, and then long run at the end.
Any intervals or anything like that?
Well, maybe. There's probably something in there, yeah. I'm not loving the intervals at the moment, though. I need to get some decent road shoes that are good for doing faster running, so, yeah.
So. Oh, nice. But, so our main guest this week, obviously...
There is another person on this podcast, isn't there?
I know. It's one that I've been looking forward to recording, because we've delayed it for so long, because I've been away and she's been away, but it's basically Dawn Taylor from Alexandra Sports.
Oh, and cool.
Have you ever been into Alexandra Sports?
Yeah. I bought a pair of like running shoes from there like a few years back, like when I first started running, a pair of Saucony, okay. That they did all the kind of jazz on me to say you need these type of shoes.
Okay, yeah. I didn't realize like how much like stuff they've got there now, like in terms of like really good equipment and all the different kind of, they've got like pressure plates and obviously all the video camera stuff and the treadmill, and they've got also, and they also do I didn't realize they do like sports physio and stuff in there as well.
Oh, do they? Wow.
Yeah, they've got like an in-house physio that you can go to as well. So they've got like kind of end-to-end, the whole service, the whole shebang.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. But it was lovely to chat with Dawn, and she did ask me to mention one thing actually, which we didn't say on the show, and that was that they're a third generation business that have been obviously in the running game for like 40 years, which is pretty incredible. So, Dawn took over Alexandra Sports from her parents. Because they used to have the shop in North End and near where the old Lips gym used to be, and just been going for years and years and years, and obviously she took over from her parents have moved overseas, so we got to chat all about that, and so it's all in the episode. But yeah, really, really amazing, lovely to chat to Dawn, and
lovely,
I guess we'll leave everyone to it, and we'll stop blabbering on and yapping on about our own runs and head over and listen to the interview. So Dave, listen, take care. Love to Heather, love to Hetty, and we'll see you next weekend for my birthday bash.
Awesome. Take it easy, buddy.
Look forward to you. Take care, mate. Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
It's that time of the show where I get the pleasure of introducing our featured guest, and I'm pleased to welcome onto this episode Dawn Taylor, who has agreed to come on to the show to tell us all about a bit of a kind of like a running legendary place in Portsmouth, Alexandra Sports. So welcome to the show, Dawn. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And thank you for inviting me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you on. And I know we were meant to record this quite a long time ago. And I feel guilty quite a few times of having to push it out and stuff. So we were kind of ready to go, then not ready to go, ready to go, not ready to go. But we finally got it together, and we're here now.
We certainly did.
And talking. So yeah. So you've done a lot of traveling recently. You've been kind of in and out of the country and had various trips. I think you went to Canada not so long ago as well.
Yes. My family are all over the world. My sister lives in Canada. She's in Ontario. And my parents, Brian and Linda, who started the business back in the early 80s, they live in Spain. Okay. They are happily retired. So I do spend quite a bit of time helping them out. Which is backwards and forwards, helping them out with things around the house and etc.
No running shops opened in Spain then after they left? No.
we do have a very good friend, Javier. He used to work for me about 10 years ago. He was a lovely guy, and he decided to open his own shops in Spain. So we do speak often, we visit often, and I get to hear all about what's happening in Spain. In Madrid, he's based, and he has three shops there now.
Wow. So
we keep in touch. It's good to know what's going on the other side of the pond, if you like.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And
And
then, sorry.
I was going to ask again. It was you said back in the 80s, it was 1981 that Ocean
Yes,
Runner Sports opened?
that's right. I believe so.
Wow.
Seems such a long time ago now.
Yeah.
But my parents opened the store, and it was a little store. I don't know if you know North End, but there used to be a place there called Galdards,
Don't know
and
that, no.
at the time, it's like a little department store. It's three floors, and at the time, my father was working for Radio Victory, and he used to visit Galdards, Colin Galdard, as a customer. And Colin had mentioned he wanted to advertise the fact he had these units available for retail on the
Okay.
second floor. So he went to see them because he had to put the advert together and thought, wow, this would be a great opportunity for a shop.
Okay.
At the time, my dad was heavily into judo. He was a judo instructor.
Right.
He was also a squash coach, and he was massively into running. And back in the day, you didn't really have a lot of products. You would have plimsolls, and
Yeah.
your squash racket would be wooden. And there was no internet. We've got to look back. This was, the days of no internet. How did we shop?
It almost seems like those days didn't exist.
Exactly. It's hard to explain to people these days, the youngsters, how our lives used to be.
Yeah.
And my mum was really a great tennis player. She loved playing tennis, and she used to love running as well. And they decided, we can't buy products anywhere. We can't get decent shoes, et cetera. So they decided they would open a shop, and initially took on the lease only for 3 months, just as a
Okay.
taster to see what would happen. And this was in the day of, do you remember Jane Fonda?
Oh
Jane
yes.
Fonda workouts.
Yeah, remember
So at the top of Galdards, there was a dance studio opened up, owned by Nuala, and it was called Lips Dance Studio. And all the ladies used to come down from the dance studio to go onto our floor to buy coffees. And then my mum started to get in some leotards and do you remember shawl tracksuits? Yeah, we're really
Oh
going back now.
gosh.
And they were flying off the shelves, and things just started to go really well. So they signed up for a further 6 months, and then they just kept going, and here we are now.
Wow, that's amazing. And you mentioned you mentioned Lips Dance Studio.
Yes.
So are we talking the same corner in North End where Lips Gym ended up?
That's correct. Yeah, so it's
Wow.
just opposite the roundabout.
That's right. Yeah,
You've
that's
got
right.
the library on one side, and then you had Lips Dance Studio, and that was Galdards.
Ah, interesting. Because I
Yeah.
used to be a member when I first came back to the UK back in early 2000s. I ended up joining a gym called Lips on the corner there. So,
Ah, wow.
and yes, I used to train there. So that was just interesting. When you mentioned that, I was like, oh, I think I know the place. That
Yeah.
must have, no, yeah.
But now it's made into flats now. So it's
Okay.
completely, it's all gone now.
Gosh, it's all changed over. So when did the shop actually move to its current location then?
Oh gosh, that would have been in 2000. And initially, they had the little store in Galdards, which was very small. They then opened, they purchased a house in Gladys Avenue, at the bottom of Gladys Avenue. And that they lived above, and they turned downstairs into a shop. So they were able to relocate. So it wasn't to the location we are now, which is on the corner, which used to be the car sales showroom
Okay.
there. So it was a little house, basically a residential house in the street of Gladys Avenue, and the shop was downstairs. And that would have been round about 1983, maybe.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until 2000, or they opened another shop in Southsea, which was next to the traffic lights in Albert Road.
Okay.
And that's when they started to diversify into ski wear. Both my parents love skiing. That was they had a great passion. They just love the outdoors and sports. So they opened with ski boots and ski fitting, etc., along with running, bowling, skateboarding, lots of other things.
Huge variety of sports there.
Exactly. So they then had the two shops then, but really they also then opened a shop in David Lloyd in Port Solent.
Okay.
They had a unit there, but all the shops are really too close to each other, and all you're really doing from a business point of view, it's great to service the local community in Southsea, and Hillsea, etc., and beyond, but they're too close to each other, and you're paying lots of overheads. Having three stores to manage with three lots of staff, it
Yeah.
really wasn't a good business plan. So that's when we went just to one big shop with lots of visibility and car parking, and that was in 2000. They've been looking for the shop to open the shop there for a long time, and negotiated with the landlord,
Okay.
Peter. And finally got the shop, and it was their dream. They absolutely loved being there.
Yeah,
It was
amazing.
their pride and joy. So,
Ah,
yes.
it's so nice to hear about kind of like the history and how the evolution of the store and kind of how it changed. And
Yes. And things are
I'm all
so different now. You know,
I
when I talk to my
know.
parents now, obviously we're very close,
Yeah.
and they love to know all about everything that I do. Obviously, in the business.
Yeah.
And it's just, they say it's quite frightening for them, you know, social media, internet, websites, and, you know, you have to have stock control systems. And these are all in the past, our stock control would be on a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, life is so
Yeah.
different now. They're happy to be retired, but they take a very keen interest in the business and all the challenges that we're always up against as a business in this economic climate that
Oh
we're
yeah, for
in.
sure. I'm sure there's lots of it. There's lots of kind of hidden things that go into to running Alexandra Sports and for all the sports stores really these days that I guess us runners who just come in and look at trainers, purchase trainers, nutrition or whatever, don't ever get to
Yeah,
see.
absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Amazing. I'm also so interested when people, say about, like your folks into their running back in the 80s and stuff. I wonder what it would have been like. I wish I could almost flash back in time. And just have a look at the seafront and just see how many people used to jog along the seafront back in the 80s. I wonder if you would have seen many people running along the seafront back then.
There weren't as many, absolutely. Running wasn't as big as it is now. And also, I think running was very different. It was for serious athletes that would train. Back in the day, a runner would run 100 miles a week in plimsolls. We didn't have any of the technologies we have nowadays. We didn't do stretching, or we didn't have, use physio so much. And runners, I think, were very, very hardcore. And there were few and far between.
I guess there were
But you.
clubs. There were obviously like running clubs
Oh,
and
yes.
things.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in London, I think, that's where majority of the clubs were. But running, look at now, look at Park Run and what Park Run's done for running. Running is booming and people are thoroughly enjoying it. And you don't have to be a top athlete these days to run,
Exactly. It's all about community and the importance
absolutely.
of.
It doesn't matter what your time is, as long as you're going out, you're enjoying it, you're benefiting from it for your mental health, for cardiovascular, all the benefits that running gives us, really.
There's so much.
The
I've got to
list is
ask. I've got.
endless.
Yeah, I know. I've got to ask you, Dawn. Do you run yourself? Are you a runner at the moment, or have
Yes,
you are?
I've always been a runner. I've never been a fast runner. I remember queuing up. We did an event, a 10K event. Actually, we did the Butser. And I remember queuing up for the loos, and I heard someone say, "There's Dawn from Alexandra Sports. She'll
Really?
probably win this race." And I thought, wow, I had to go and speak to them and say, hey, what makes you think I'll win? They said, well, because you own a sports shop. And people that own sports shops are really good runners. I said, well, that's not me. I enjoy running and I will get round in my 10K and I'll probably do it in 60 minutes or, but I certainly won't come far first.
That's quite
And
funny that people tie the two together, like, oh, well,
they
you
do.
must know running.
Yeah, but a lot of good athletes open sports shops, and it's not always the case. I love running. I ran yesterday. I run all the time. I've done marathons before, lots of halves, and I did very much used to be into racing, attending race events. Really enjoyed those. But then as time went on, I preferred, I think with my work, I prefer to run in the mornings and not in the evening.
So no club times and stuff.
No, I used to run with Portsmouth joggers a lot. I enjoyed that. But when you run with a club, people want to talk to you about running shoes and injuries and all sorts. And when it's your time to switch off and run and enjoy your run, it's more difficult. I'm a morning person, and my exercise, I love to wake up in the morning, have a coffee, and off I go, whether it's running, cycling, swimming, horse riding, to the gym. I do whatever I feel my body wants to do, and I really enjoy that. So yes, that's I haven't done an event for a while. I think the last event I did would have been the Llama 20 with White Star Running.
Yes, White Star Running. I've
Yeah,
heard of the run.
yes, they're really good. We did that, and that would have been in 2020 because we were training for the Brighton Marathon, and obviously that got cancelled that year. And I remember that day it rained. We had glorious sunshine, and then we had thunder and lightning, and it was absolutely exhilarating. It was a fantastic run. Really enjoyed that.
There's something beautiful about running in scary, or running in rain and
Yes,
or
I
stormy
think,
weather and stuff. That's great.
I think some of my best runs have actually been in thunderstorms. I find them very, very exhilarating.
It's lovely. I always love the rain. The wind can just go away. Like at the moment, I'm just finding it on the seafront at the moment, windy every day pretty much, and I just want it to go away. But rain is lovely.
Yes,
It's
yeah.
always good.
I think the seafront always reminds me of the Great South Run, when you've got the last 2 miles and you go back onto the prom and then run to the finish. And if the wind's against you, it can be awful. Or to the
Everyone.
side of you. I remember 1 year I had the wind behind me and it literally lifted me. I felt like an angel had lifted me up and carried me to the finish line. It was fantastic.
If only the wind could just be behind you all the time.
That's right, yeah.
That would be great. That would be great.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's already. I'm loving this conversation. Just finding out about the kind of history of the store and your own running as well. Interesting. And one of the questions was going to be like, what else do you do in your past time? But you mentioned horse riding, which is
Yes.
have you got horses yourself, or do you
Oh
just?
no. I think because I visit my family, I just can't leave a horse all the time. Although I have dogs, but I have a dog sitter. I think I like to horse ride. I do lots of walking as well.
Walking's good.
I will often disappear and go and walk 20 miles somewhere
Oh
and come
gosh.
back. Just thinking, do I have time? I'm actually going. I'm going to go for a lovely walk and I'll be gone. I'll do 20 miles or something.
It's all good training as well. I think
It is. I just
walking's
like being
underestimated.
outside. Absolutely. I love being outside.
Are
But
you a
yes,
member
I
of one
like.
of are you a member of one of the big gyms as well? Because you said you go to gym as well.
Yes, I belong to David Lloyd in. I live in Bishop's Waltham. So I belong to David Lloyd in West End,
Got it.
which is about 10 minutes from me. I play tennis as well. I love tennis. I play tennis once a week, sometimes twice a week.
Nice.
And I love swimming. So I generally swim. I'm up to just started really getting into my swimming. So I'm up to 2,000 meters in the pool.
Okay.
And I'm really enjoying that.
Brilliant. That's nice. Well, you've got such a wide variety of activities going on there, so
Yeah,
you
I like
definitely
to
like the
cross train.
outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to cross train. I think it's good for you. And many years ago, all I used to do was run, run, and run.
Okay.
My favorite distance would be 10 miles, and I finish work, go out for a 10-mile run, come back, and then the next day I'd do the same again. But I would never do any weight training at the gym,
Yeah.
never strengthen my core, and work on all the things that we know now are important to your running. You know, it's not just about running. If you want to avoid injury, then you really need to be doing other things. And
Yeah, I've
I really enjoy the variety. That gives me, you know, it excites me a lot more to do different things all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm guilty of not doing the cross training thing, although I have started. So I asked which gym you're a member of, because I've joined BH. Is it BH? I never know if it's BH Active or BH Live. I'm sure it's BH
BH
Live.
Live,
BH
yes.
Live, yeah. So I'm enjoying a whole lot of HIIT classes and grip classes and sprint
Oh, they're really
classes, and
good.
oh
Yeah.
my goodness. Yeah, I mean, I thought I
That's
was
so good
fit.
for your running.
Hopefully, yeah, we'll see. So I'm going into my next race a little bit undertrained on the running side of things, but more c coming with a different dynamic, with the gym classes and things. I'm going to see how that
Yeah,
plays into or advantage,
you
hopefully.
just might be very pleasantly surprised.
Hopefully, yeah. So
Yeah.
I do get a lot of kind of race fatigue these days, because I do a lot of like longer races, and I've just found recently, going out on the trails and doing like, 6, 7 hours running as training, it just fatigues me for the race. And I just, it's the whole, I've explained it before to people, it's the whole putting a race pack on and having the taste of the sports drinks and the bottles and the heat, and oh, it just it just kind of fatigues me out. So I'm hoping that I'll go into the next race, which is the South Downs Way 100 in 3 weeks'
Lovely.
time, and I'll
Yes.
hopefully be fresh for that, and I'll enjoy the day. We'll
Yeah,
see how
it's
it
so
goes.
important, isn't it, to recover
Oh
and to
yeah.
do different things. A lot of the CrossFitters now, you know, they do CrossFit every day, or say 5 days a week. And when they go out to run, they're getting some good times,
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
but they're
definitely.
not running all the time,
Yep,
you
true.
know.
So
So
true.
there is a lot to be said to mixing things up. But at the end of the day, everybody's different, and we all have different, you know, biomechanics and
Yeah.
etc. So what works for you may not work for somebody else, and it's just finding what does actually work for you, doesn't it? And
That's
it's like
it.
time to train. When's your best time to train? I really don't enjoy training in the evenings anymore. It's for me, it's morning, and I perform a lot better.
That's true,
But you know, I have friends that want to go out at 9 o'clock at night.
yeah.
You
Yeah,
know, we're all different, aren't we?
exactly. And one of my golden rules for people who kind of are starting running, or people might come to me with questions about, oh, how do I do this, how do I do this, is just do stuff, and then like you say, you find your own, the things that work for you,
Yeah.
and you just do them, because yeah, we're all so different.
Yeah, step by step is always very good in anything in life, I think.
Exactly. So Dawn, back to Alexandra Sports for a bit,
Yes.
and my first question to you about the store itself was going to be, do runners make good customers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or are we difficult people?
Well, there's a mixture. I'd say there's a mixture. Majority of our runners, as customers, are fantastic. Friendly, passionate about what they're doing. They love to tell you about, you know, especially when people come in and they've just started running and they're on a journey. And it's really nice to share that journey with them, because they may have started out running at night, especially women, because they're embarrassed, and they're intimidated to come into a running shop. And
Yeah.
they've left it for months and months, and may have gone to Sports Direct and bought a pair of shoes for £20, persevered, got injured, ended up coming into the shop, been fitted out and gone through the whole process of the biomechanical assessment, the gait analysis, etc., buying shoes. And then they're a customer. Then we like to look after our customers once they've visited us. So it's not just about, okay, we'll see you later. People come back and they may have sports therapy. We have a clinic upstairs.
Oh, really? Okay.
We have a clinic, we have physiotherapy and sports massage. They may come back for clothing, a sports bra fitting, gels, advice. They may have had a problem with the shoe. There could be an issue. Then we always encourage people to come back, talk to us about what you're experiencing so we can talk to you about it and help you to put it right. And then these customers are coming in over the years, they become friends, and you see them out at events and you know that they've just achieved a PB and they're so happy. Now they're people that have said, I'll never run, I'm only doing this for charity. I won't be continuing, then go on to run ultra marathons or something because they get the bug.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is absolutely wonderful. To be able to, listen to the journey and be part of that journey with them. I think we all really enjoy that. It gives us a lot of job satisfaction.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
But we'll also get people that, they want the service. In the past, we've had issues where people want the service, but they don't have the finances to pay for the shoes as such. So we've managed to get through that because we can now do a full service and give people advice on what they need to get if they want to be able to shop around and buy something in a sale or from Sports Direct. We can give them a little bit more insight into what they should be looking for.
Okay.
Because not everybody can afford, decent trainers. I mean, nowadays, a good sports shoe, running shoe is going to set you back maybe £130. And when you think, I don't know how long ago, but maybe 10 years ago, it would have been 100. Or 95, or actually probably even 85.
Well, my first few shoes, from bargain buckets at Sports Direct were like, 20, 30 quid. And obviously, I had issues once I started picking up my mileage, which is why I switched to Hoka. But yeah, they're I think it's always worth it, isn't it? I mean, it's a large amount to fork out for a pair of shoes these days. But when you look at how much mileage you're getting out of the shoes and how much enjoyment you're getting, I mean, the cost is quite little per mile, I would say.
It is. If you break it down to, if your running shoes should last you maybe 500 miles, and that really depends who's wearing them. Because if you're very heavy, if you're a big overpronator, then your shoes won't last you as long. But if you're light, neutral, and an efficient runner, you may get more.
Yeah, exactly.
So it really does depend. But when you break down how many miles you've done, if you broke down the cost of the shoe per run, it's marginal. And if it avoids injury, if you're wearing decent shoes and the right shoes for you, then you're more likely to avoid injury. Therefore, you won't be paying out for physiotherapists and sports injury clinics and all those things that we really want to avoid, don't we?
Exactly. I think Dave and I, during one intro, we did this exercise where we broke it down. I think we took like a pair of shoes and a pair of the super shoes at the time when they first came out, the ones that Nike was selling, and we were kind of working it out, how many pence per mile that would be if you got X amount of mileage out of your shoes. And it's so minimal when you break it down like that. And I just wonder if like it would be worth like sports shoe stores having something like that, like a little leaflet that you can pick saying, you know what, yes, it's expensive, but hey, look what you're getting out of it. When you actually boil it down to the amount of mileage you're getting and all the enjoyment and those experiences and the people you're having conversations with and everything. I mean,
Absolutely.
in itself, it's a form of entertainment. Once you get the shoes, it's enabling you to do so much more.
Yes. And running feels better in good shoes, doesn't it?
Oh,
I'm actually,
absolutely.
I need a new pair of shoes, and I haven't got round to getting them at the moment. But I've been running in. I run in the Speed Goat, Hoka Speed Goat, and Currently, for the last maybe 3 weeks, I've been thinking these are flat. I need a new pair. I must get this sorted. And I can feel that my running doesn't feel as enjoyable. When you put your new shoes on, you're, oh, wow, this feels amazing. You can feel when the cushioning's starting to go.
Oh, absolutely, you do, yeah. And do you know what? It's you can feel it, and you know it's happening, but because like that process of the shoe getting to that point is quite gradual, I think
Yes.
it almost eases you into the fact that okay, this is just the way the shoe's going to feel now. Whereas, like you say, when you then spend the money and you get a new pair of shoes, you then feel ah, this is why I should be buying new shoes.
Yes, yeah. And also, I mean, I have quite a few pairs of shoes for different sports, tennis, etc. But my speed goats now, they will then become my dog walking shoes. So I will still get, another 6 months out of them by just walking the dogs with them.
You get another lifetime out of your shoe as casual wear, basically,
Yes,
which
yeah.
is
And
great.
then you can use them for, a lot of our customers use them for decorating, DIY around the house and so forth. So,
Interesting.
you'll have them for many years.
Have you
And
got any good examples of like off the top of your head, and I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here, of what anybody might have done with a pair of shoes that you know of in terms of DIY and stuff?
Yes, well, I have one very good example, and I always tell him he's not a good example, and that's my father, Brian. He's currently wearing, because I was in Spain last week, and he had on a pair of Brooks Adrenaline GTS, and we worked out they were 15 years old, and he wears them now. They're his indoor slippers. So they're all clean, but they have no grip on the bottom. It's completely worn away. And he's put some speed laces in them, and now they're his indoor slippers.
So that's a third life he's getting out of
Absolutely. Well, he's
it.
had them, he ran in them many moons ago. Then he would have used them for dog walking. Then he would have used them for decorating. And now they've become indoor slippers. But he's old school, so he wants everything to last forever.
Well, that's kind of the way it should be, isn't it? I mean,
It is,
I feel
yes.
terribly. Terribly guilty sometimes having my own shoes and stuff. I don't throw them away.
Yeah.
I know there are companies like, I don't know if you know Dan and Charlotte from Rerun Clothing over in.
Yes, I have. I bumped into them at the Lakeside 5K last year.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah. I mean, they're amazing. They're doing such good stuff, but it feels like a never-ending battle trying to keep kind of sportswear and shoes and stuff out of landfills, and there's so many
Absolutely.
shoes being made. I mean, you go into the Nike store these days and there's like thousands of different models of shoes, and oh,
Yeah, it's really bad. A
where is this
lot of
stuff going?
the shoes coming through will be biodegradable midsoles in the future. That has started already. Brooks have got a biodegradable midsole, so it will only last 100 years in a landfill. And that's important,
Super important,
We do re we have a recycling bank in the shop, and those shoes will go off to third world countries, and other people will continue to wear them that don't have any footwear at all.
Brilliant, brilliant. I know there's quite a few good people in Portsmouth doing things. I know oh gosh, Ian and from Portsmouth Joggers. Oh, she's gonna absolutely kill me. I only saw them the other night. They go to Africa once a year and they take a whole load of clothing and shoes
Oh, that's fantastic.
over to South Africa and things. But yeah, there's so many people that need trainers that, for us might be finished, but for somebody else, they're awesome. They serve
They
a
will
purpose.
carry on for a long time.
I know. It's such a difficult balance.
It is. It's really awful. I mean, especially like the fashion industry as well. The clothing is like a 6 week turnaround, and people wear it once or twice, and it goes into the charity or charity shop or something.
Fast fashion is bad.
It's very bad. It's very bad. At least we
Dawn,
can say with sports clothing, it lasts a long time. I've had kit that I've got a Falky top, and it's lasted me for like maybe 20 years, and it's still going strong. I still wear it every winter, two or three times a week.
that's it. There you go. Heaven, it works. It works. So Dawn, moving on to the kind of how somebody would what their experience would be visiting the store, say for the first time. If someone was coming into the store, what kind of options do they have? What kind of products are they going to be presented with? Maybe just give us a little bit of an introduction as to what the look and feel is of the store and how the team could help them and what kind of services you offer there.
Yes, certainly. We offer a biomechanical assessment, video gait analysis, 3D foot scanning, and pressure mapping service. And initially, we would talk to you about your needs. We need to know what it is you want to do. If we do other products apart from running. We do walking shoes, we have tennis shoes, squash shoes. And with regards to running, we've got trail running shoes, speed shoes, long distance shoes, etc. So but we would start with we would chat to you to find out what your needs are. We also, I'll mention, we have a lot of our customers are probably 25%, maybe, I could be wrong, that maybe don't run. They've been referred to us from a podiatrist or a physiotherapist. They could be suffering from Morton's neuroma or plantar fasciitis, and they're having trouble with their everyday shoes. So they would be recommended to get some proper trainers,
That's interesting.
running shoes. So we would start by talking to you, finding out what your needs are, and then we would put you through the relevant process for you. So, for instance, if you're a runner, let's just say you're new to running. We want to know, have you tried the Couch to 5K? Did you have any problems? Yes, I had shin pain, whatever. So we talk about any injuries that you may have. Then we would get you to stand with your feet close together. We'd be looking at the shape of your leg. We'd be looking at the positioning of your knees. We would run a few tests where you're just standing. We used to do a lot of hands-on assessments before COVID, but we've had to obviously change the way we do things because of contact. So we would carry out the static tests, we call them. Then we would watch you walk. It's important to see people move. You can't just stand still. We need to see what happens when you move. We would then carry out, get you onto the 3D foot scanner. It's really great technology. The equipment's really expensive, and we have it in all three of our stores now. And you step onto the foot scanner, and it will take a 3D image of your foot, and it will give you all your sizing, every single size you could think of, your arch height. We would then get you walking on the pressure map mapping, which would take a look at the pressure underneath the foot, especially like around the big toe joints and so forth.
Is that
These sort
also
of things.
to find like the pronation levels and stuff with the sides of the feet as well, or
Yes, yes. Mainly when you're doing all the tests have to come together. I don't think there's any sort of piece of equipment that you could just look at and say, hey, you need this or that. I mean, you've got to take into consideration any injuries a customer's had. You'd need to look at, somebody may have internally rotated knees. They might have one leg longer than the other. They could have more overpronation on one foot than the other. Something we look at is the talus joint of the foot. And we're able to put the foot into a neutral position so we can see how far the foot has to fall when you're running. But we also have to take in consideration, are they a 4 foot runner? Do they land on their heel? Are they a midfoot runner? Because all of these things, it's not an exact science. So there's a lot of things that we have to take into consideration when we're assessing somebody.
That sounds really like a really extensive kind of,
It is.
examination of how you run and how you stand and how the natural
Yes.
foot is itself. So yeah, that sounds really
Yeah.
good.
I mean, even when we're walking, we're looking at your arm swing. We're looking at your shoulders and your neck. We're looking at your hips. We're looking whether the feet are turning inwards or outwards. There's a lot to pick up. There's a lot of training that goes on with the staff to get to this stage. The 3D scanners really help as well. For sizing, especially if you've got like a hallux valgus, a bunion, You might have a heel spur. You could have one foot a lot bigger and a lot wider. People don't realize that. Wow, I've always wondered why my big toe on the right foot is always black, because you're buying shoes that are too small, because that foot's much bigger.
I guess you never really consider that, do you? That like one of your feet might be bigger. You're just used to seeing them around moving and stuff like that. You never
Yes,
actually get them
yeah.
measured or anything. So
I
yes,
think
interesting
often
point.
it's when you when it's pointed out to customers, they're like, wow, actually, now that really does make sense. It's like going back to Clark's when you were a kid, going into Clark's and having your feet measured. And then once we've carried out the assessments, we get you running on the treadmill, because we want to see you run now. We've seen you walk. We want to see you run. We'll record on the video. Then we will be able to play that back. I think the treadmill is something the customer enjoys. It doesn't give us as much information as all the other tests and equipment, but the customer does enjoy video gait analysis. I think people think, oh, video gait analysis, that's what we need. But in fact, we find our other tests are far more important, but we offer the gait analysis because it's great for the customer to see them running played back in slow motion to them.
Okay, maybe it makes the other stuff, it helps ease the points in that you're going to make with the other things, and
Yeah,
you can,
helps them to understand it and understand what's happening. And I think it is quite good to be able to explain to people what's happening and why they're having these issues. And then, if you were to adapt and have this shoe instead of this shoe, it could make a big difference to you. And 95% of the time it does. And then people are on the right track then. But then also remember, you might get faster, you might get lighter, and so therefore you should really get reassessed when you buy new shoes, because things change. If you've been doing a lot of core stability work, then you actually may not be overpronating as much as you were before, and you could, afford to, lose some of the support.
That's true. Yeah, again, something else that you don't consider much, do you? Like, how is my running changing over time? So,
Yeah.
yeah.
And also it's how people want to run. We've got all the so much people can become so confused these days. You've got barefoot running, minimalist running, 4 foot running. There's so many different types of running. And the question, what's right for me? Well, let's have a look at your feet, and we can actually establish, there are a lot of people that they naturally run up on their 4 foot. So then why change it? If it's not broke, don't fix it. But there are people that are really heavy heel strikers, and for them to have, they've got a very mobile foot, and they try to run up on the balls of their feet, and they're in agony. So why go down that path? We're all different, and we need to work with what suits us, really.
Exactly. So Dawn, all those incredible services and stuff that you offer, and you've got to rely on a team of people, because you can't be in store like yourself all the
Absolutely.
time. So like,
Absolutely.
I mean, how do you go about building a team like that, and kind of putting all that trust into the people who are going to be helping your customers and stuff? How do you manage all that? Must be quite tough.
Well, I think people are always commenting that we don't have a high turnover of staff, which is, good for us, because we have to put so much into training. And, we've had 40 years of serving the running community and being involved with products and biomechanics, etc. And all of that information has to be passed on to somebody that's interested and passionate about what they're doing. And so there's lots of staff training all the time. Whether it's internally, whether it's from outside, etc. And then the key is really, you want your team to be happy. And I think the most important thing for me as a business owner, above my customers, is the team. Because if we don't have the team, we don't have the business that can help the customer.
Exactly.
So the team are very important. We've got We've got team that have been with us for 20 years, 15 years, 11 years, you know, and we look after each other. We are like a family, and we look after each other.
That's good to know.
You know, we've always, you know, have different things go on in your life, don't they? Parents die, and we have
Yeah.
children, we get married. Life is so hectic, so busy. And I feel we've definitely adapted as a business to be more accommodating to our family of staff.
That's great. That's
You
really.
know, people need to go off and do the school run. Somebody's little boys, sort of girls at home, they're sick today. You know, somebody's mum's ill. You know, we muck in and we help out. And we have three stores. And we have an online business, and we have a team of 12.
Wow. Where can I ask where the third store is? Because I've done a lot of running around Oliver's Battery, and I know that you've got
Yes.
the store near there, because I used to run past it every day pretty much.
Yes. Yeah.
But where's the third one?
The third one is in Dorset, in Christchurch.
Ah, okay. Ah, nice spot.
Yes, it's
Love,
lovely
beautiful
there.
spot, yeah.
It's very nice. It's such a great area. Fantastic running around there. You've got all the Jurassic coastline and you've got the New Forest, you know, Hingersbury Head. I mean, it's
Beautiful,
great
yeah.
running area. Lots of clubs around there. We're just on the edge of the New Forest.
Okay.
The shop opened, it's just been open not quite 2 years yet.
Okay.
So we opened after COVID, which was quite risky. We opened
Yeah.
there because we kept being asked.
Okay.
Customers phoning, podiatrists, healthcare professionals, you need to open a shop here in Christchurch and you won't regret it. And
It's worked out good.
so far it's working. Yeah, my son is managing that shop.
Okay. In fact, I was
Yeah.
going to ask you, like, so your son manages that shop. Any shout outs to any particular team members you want to
Oh,
a
all of
chance for you to
them.
say you how much you love them.
Okay. Well, we've got Angie, who's been with us for 20 years. She is absolutely amazing. She's a runner herself. She's done lots of marathons, half marathons. She's a great girl. She works so hard. She's so dedicated. All the team are, to be honest. She's been with us for 20 years.
Wow.
Sam, Angie does all the, she does, because we do everything in-house as well. Because we have to, because in our industry there isn't a lot of margin to be had,
Okay.
and because we give club discounts and we do a lot of support to events, which costs us money,
Yeah.
then so we've got Angie. She does all the bookkeeping, she looks after all the stock control, she looks after the systems and lots of other things. Then we've got Sam. He's been with us for 15 years. His main passion is fishing, and but he does run as well and he
Okay.
uses the gym. He does all the buying. So he, if you want to ever want to talk about products, he'll be a man to go to. We can
Okay.
have some long conversations about putting the worlds to right with products and things.
Okay.
He does work on the shop floor as well, as does Angie.
Okay.
So we're all involved in everything. And then you've got Ronnie. He's been with us 11 years. He looks after the website,
So that's
and all
in-house
the,
as well, yeah.
yeah, all in-house marketing, etc.
Cool, because you've got it. You're on Instagram and things like that as well. Because I see sometimes your posts from the lakeside
Yes.
events and various bits and pieces there.
Yes. There's so much to do in business these days.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, you have to communicate with the customer however they wish to be communicated. So that's all your social media stuff. And then we've got our store managers, Pam in Winchester. She's fantastic, does a great job. James, my son in Dorset, who's got a hard slog building the business down there, you know, because it's new. And then we have Emma, M, as she likes to be called. Her daughter runs for Portsmouth Athletic Club.
Okay.
She looks after Portsmouth. And then we've got part-timers.
Okay. Great.
And they're often at university. A lot of the staff have got degrees in sports science or computing, that type of thing.
Okay.
And they're
Nice.
all into keeping fit and healthy, and they're lovely people.
Yeah, all these
Just
lovely, beautiful people supporting the business,
generally,
supporting your customers. Yeah.
and that's I think that's really the key to our success is our team, because without them, we're
Yeah.
nothing.
So as well as obviously you mentioned earlier, supporting events, and kind of those costs, you also will have some sponsored athletes or a sponsored athlete at the moment as well, Karen Hacker.
Yes, Karen. Karen's great. We first met her at the it was the New Forest Marathon,
Okay.
and it was probably about five before COVID. It's probably about five, maybe 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And I just got chatting to her, and she said that she'd come second.
She's
And I was like,
amazing. She's
wow,
such a good
yeah.
runner. She is
I said,
incredible.
I haven't seen you before. And she said, no. She said, I've not really been running that long. And I've just decided to take up running, and I quite like it. And it looks like I'm quite good. And I was like, wow, you are good.
Yeah.
She won a pair of ASICS shoes. And because we did, ASICS sponsored it that year with us.
Okay.
And so she came, I invited her to come to the Winchester shop just to have a chat. And she got some products. And she was saying, she's working full time, and she's loving the running. And I said that I could probably give her some kits to help her out. And then she talked about, more aspirations of things that she could do. She's having to do a lot more training and still working full time. And, financially, it's difficult. So we managed to, I talked to some of our suppliers, and we managed to set up a sponsorship arrangement with Mizuno.
Okay, great.
And they've been great. She wears the Mizuno Daiichi, and they kitted her out, and she's been working with them now for about 5 years.
Okay.
I had the privilege, she invited me to be her crew up at the Ultra Marathon Mont Blanc, the UMTB,
Yeah.
and that was fantastic. So I went along, I carried her kit for her.
Brilliant.
And I think she came in 15th or 16th lady.
Wow. Yeah, that's really good. But
She
for a race of
just
that caliber, that's
unbelievable.
good. Yeah.
I mean, as I was saying to her, she every time I met her in the tent, she just turned up, fresh as a daisy, had something quickly to eat, and off she went. And
Yeah.
then I'd race to get to the next tent. But I was seeing, men crying.
Oh yeah.
And falling apart. And I said to her, God, there's grown men crying here. They're in agony, and you're fresh as a daisy. She said, I know it's, I'm doing quite well, aren't I? I said,
Yeah.
really, you really are. And she's just finished Snowdonia.
Oh yeah, UTS. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's
Tough
right.
race.
And so yeah, we meet up. We're due to meet up again soon, actually. Just good to have a chat with her. She's a lovely person. She's
Cool. Yeah.
funny. She's funny. She's kind. And
And she's coached by a guest we've had on the show. She's coached by Michelle Maxwell.
yes,
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
she is, yeah.
Again, another amazing athlete. But that's great
Yeah.
that you get to do that and you get to kind of help athletes out and
Absolutely.
support runners where you can, which is just brilliant.
Yeah. We've helped a lot of athletes out over the years. We tend to now we tend to sort of focus more on the clubs themselves.
Yeah.
So we offer more sponsorship, more finances basically.
Yeah.
We've actually got a team of officials now. We've got Alexandra Sports officials.
Okay.
So we've trained up eight staff that have now become field officials. So we offer our services free of charge to the clubs. Because the clubs have been struggling so much to get volunteers and helpers, to the point that sometimes you have to pull out of the league because you don't have people to help.
Yeah.
So
Oh, that's brilliant.
we're very busy.
You do cover everything pretty much.
Yeah.
There's everything from, a gel if you wanted a gel right through to a kind of full foot and biomechanic analysis,
Yeah.
which is, yeah, just incredible. I mean, there's lots of stuff you've kind of told me about today that I didn't actually realize you did, including the massage and physio
Yes.
services as well, which is very interesting to know. Ah, fantastic, brilliant. I was going to ask you, was there anything you wanted to add, you know, before we kind of come to the end and draw this to a conclusion about the running community here in the South?
I think the running community is fantastic, and I think it's just so lovely to be involved, as I said before, with people's journeys, to see people come so far, whether they're doing it for charity, to raise money, to keep fit, for mental health. I just think it's something everybody should give a go if they haven't already.
Absolutely.
Because I think running has so much to offer.
Couldn't agree more.
And, you know, once you've got your shoes, it's free.
That's true.
It is.
Your playground starts as soon as you open the door.
Yes, absolutely. Although it would be nice to see people taking part in events again. I think that's something that's suffered, which we really don't want to lose. A lot of the race organisers, you know, they work so hard and put so much effort in. I think it's really important that we continue to support the events as much as we can. And I know with the cost of living crisis, you know, people are looking after their pennies.
Yeah.
But we've got to support these events because they may not be here if we don't. And we all love, you know, going to doing a marathon, you know, with whether it's with, you know, Rob Piggott. He does a fantastic job. He's been on your show before, hasn't he?
He has, yeah, a few times, yeah.
You know, with the Portsmouth Coastal Marathon and the Half Marathon. I think race directors have been up really against it with COVID, with all the cancellations. You know, they still have to have bought the medals and spent out, you know, so much money, and when they don't get that back, it's really heart-rending, really.
Yeah, and having to deal with the authorities and councils and new rules that are in place, and oh my goodness,
absolutely. I'd just like to encourage people to run, to enjoy the run, and to take part in events and be part of an amazing community that's out there. And it's great, isn't it? Because you're a runner everywhere you go. Look at Runnar now, the brand with Craig.
Yes, you guys have them in store. You stock them now. You stock some of their
we
stuff.
We do. Yeah, we've stocked them for a while, but we're stocking more now.
Brilliant.
But that whole thing, Runnar, you know, if you're wearing a Runnar top and you go to Manchester or to Spain or to abroad, someone will approach you and say, hey, you're a runner. Yes, I am. And you'd start chatting.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and if there's anything runners like doing, it's chatting about running.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's belonging, isn't it? Belonging's important. Yeah, we all want to belong somewhere. And I think the running community is a great place to belong somewhere. It really Brilliant. Is.
Awesome stuff. Awesome. And one last thing. If there was anything that you could ask of people who have visited the store, which I thought this was going to be a good question, and they want to provide any feedback or experiences that they've had there, like good experiences, how can they do that? What's your kind of preferred method of any feedback? Is it via Google, or is there a feedback?
I think any feedback, you could contact sales at alexandrasports.com.
Send a nice email.
Yeah, we're always keen to have feedback. You know, reviews.com, Trustpilot. It really helps us if you've had a good experience to share that on social media. I think people don't talk enough about good experiences. But I believe a lot of people talk about not so good experiences. I mean, we're very fortunate, touch wood. You know, we've got a lot of 5-star reviews out there.
If there's anything anybody likes, there's a good moan as well. So that's why it always tends to be the negative feedback. But I wanted to ask it because it's super important, especially, you know, for yourselves, where you know it's great that people come down and use the services that you've got there to get that feedback afterwards, to, you know, to entice people to come along and see what they can
Absolutely.
Find there, because you never know what you're going to find when you go into an actual store and have a look around and have a chat to people, and, you know, then get filmed, or your foot gets filmed, and, you know, you might find all sorts of things out about your running. So, you know,
yes,
I entice
absolutely.
People to write about those experiences and, you know, get more people into the store, and people
Thank
start
you.
Entering races as well. Anyone listening, enter those races. Come on.
Yes,
support these race directors. Come on. Dawn, listen,
absolutely.
You know, Porto is an incredible city, you know, it's, especially the running community here. It's vibrant, it's active, and I just wanted to kind of say thank you so much for coming on to talk to us about Alexandra Sports, because, you know, it's like I say, it's that iconic place. Everyone knows about it. You know, most runners have been there, but if you haven't, get down to Alexandra Sports, meet Dawn, meet the team, and don't forget their feedback as well. Thanks,
Thank
Dawn,
you, Dan.
so
It's
much
been an
for
absolute
joining.
pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Speak to you soon. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.